It's Tuesday, Wednesday, March 11th. Got that part right. It's business and social that we're going to do. A lot of business, a lot of AI, a lot of job cuts.
Everybody's, you know, they're missing Krista, so you get the date wrong. Just to give them a little bit of that experience.
We got the day, not the date.
A little bit of the Krista experience.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, and the SaaSpocalypse is kind of proceeding.
I'm delighted by that, by the way, the SaaSpocalypse, because I always thought all that stuff was way, way overpriced.
It was a mania, it seems like. I don't know. It's still. I mean, the economy from here forward, I think, is going to be controlled by something else.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens after that. But one man who went all in is maybe regretting it.
Oracle plans thousands of job cuts in the face of the AI cash crunch. So yeah, Oracle makes a lot of money from software as a service. And it turns out that AI may help people produce things that are good enough, but tailored to exactly what they're looking for.
But also his investment in all the data center stuff might be souring.
Mm.
And the supply chain is falling apart, so who knows how that's affecting your investments. And we have something that we thought was settled long ago, wasn't really, but kind of was, and now we have another possible end game.
Google ends its 30% App Store fee and welcomes third-party app stores. Now the percentage commission is going to range from 10 to 20%. Did I understand that right?
Yeah, and which is it's a weird, convoluted set of rules.
Subscriptions are 10%. Smaller developers, I think smaller developers can get a break here, too.
And so that is a win for Epic. He did have to make some concessions.
Tim Sweeney signed away his right to criticize Google's App Store until 2032. Google has finally muzzled Tim Sweeney. He agreed to a lot of stuff here. I'm surprised. I think that he probably got more than was publicized in this agreement, because I can't imagine that they would really have the goods on him to force this kind of an agreement, because he agreed to a lot. Like, he stipulated a lot.
But his, you know, he really needs his whole thing to get off the ground, because how many people do you know that really use Epic seriously?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, how long can you fund that?
No more calling Google a scam. Sorry, Tim.
Now, you know, somebody who works here might be able to do that. But what about his AI agent?
I was surprised by his behavior getting on the x86 board of directors, because, you know, like, they were, you know, Epic was negatively impacted by Intel CPUs crashing when they're decompressing textures. And so, like, they, you know, Oodle had their statement. It's weird, don't you think? Tim Sweeney showed up on the x86. It's like, oh, he's x. And so he's going to have early access to, like, the new instruction set and stuff. And he didn't say anything more about the CPUs melting. That's weird, isn't it? It's weird. It's really weird.
Well, I mean, he became much less of a crusader now that he's gotten his way.
Yeah. And
it's kind of the same thing, right? And we have seen the big AI companies just take their models and feed it like $1,000 worth of tokens and be like, here, look, we reinvented this thing that someone else had and we made it better. Whether it's better or not is arguable, but it seems like that is going to be the way forward.
OpenAI is developing an alternative to Microsoft's GitHub, the information reports. Yeah, I mean, GitHub's kind of stagnated if you look at it. I mean, nobody really wants to use GitHub for things that have become core DevOps type operations. It's a convenient place to host just because of the inertia that it has, but in terms of the utility that it brings you, it's really a lot less than it was previously.
Yeah, since their acquisition by Microsoft. Because Microsoft takes everything that it gobbles up and it makes it awful.
Microsoft gets tired of microslop and bans the word on its Discord and then locks the server after the backlash. So people notice, like, there's this one message here that asks, hey, is the word microslop banned? And it's like, this contains an offensive phrase. And it's like,
It's such a poor reaction to it, because if people just started putting the zero in for the O, and that was okay for a while, and then it escalated, and then it was just like, pull the plug. What a terrible reaction.
It's almost like the customers are trying to tell you something that's not reflected in your metrics dashboard, isn't it? It's like, I always love reports like this where it's like, well, I'm looking at the metrics dashboard here and it's not reflecting the microslop thing. Like, people love to complain, but most people, I think, actually like the microslop based on my dashboard.
That was created by AI. And we have an aggressive paywall here. Let me just give you a quick preview. Yeah, and this is the mergers and acquisitions that we have seen in the streaming space, where eventually we will just come under one massive streaming platform that will control everything.
What is this? HBO and Paramount Plus are merging.
So fast. So fast.
No!
But yeah.
So HBO and yeah, I mean.
HBO and Paramount, which means prices are going up. We've seen this one before. I've seen this movie streamed before. And what's going to happen? And here's another nail in the coffin of legacy media.
Americans now listen to podcasts more often than talk radio, study show. Hello and welcome if you're new here. We like to chat about things that are related to technology, even though it doesn't always seem like it is.
That you would not be talking about on FCC radio for long. They'd boot you right off of there. You can't identify those patterns. And Palantir, as we know, is probably very busy lately, don't you think? Because they are, you know, working on these war services, and they want to do that for every country. They're not, you know, America first. They're global. They don't care who you are if you have money. But some countries have been a little standoffish. They're like, we've looked at what you've done. We're not comfortable with a lot of it. And they don't like that being said.
Palantir sues Swiss magazine for accurately reporting that Swiss government does not want Palantir. Or what are they suing them for? Defamation and accurate reporting? No, the reporting was accurate. It's just that Palantir wanted to run a PR piece in the paper, which the paper declined. And so under Swiss law, it's like, hey, there's a law here that says, you know, a person has the right to respond to, you know, statements made in a paper, and we want to do that. And it's your company. Like, you can't. We're not going to run a PR piece for you. That's insane. But Palantir doesn't think so. Palantir thinks that that's their right under Swiss law. So that's why they're suing.
Swiss law doesn't have Citizens United. For now. And the betting platforms. Boy, did a lot of payouts happen there, right? I mean, a lot of things happened very quickly that were probably considered to be long shots up until that point. However, the betting platforms, they're playing fast and loose with all of this. They're like interpreting things very broadly, and they're letting us know that there are laws against what they're doing, which they didn't mention beforehand.
The Iranian Ayatollah death sparks a revolt among Khalshi customers. Khamenei?
I think it's like Khomeini.
Khomeini. So Khalshi, a betting platform, you could place a bet. When is this going to happen? And they're sort of playing it fast and loose with the language. $54 million is on the line, but a bunch of Khalshi customers thought that they should be paid because of the events that happened here, and they were not.
Now, the bet was, will he be removed from power or something like that? Not died. Because there is a law, and if you think about it, this makes a lot of sense. You can't make a betting platform on whether or not someone will die. Because then someone will kill them to make money. Like, that's, if you just think through a couple of steps there, that makes sense. Like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. So they're like, well, technically we can't have him being dead as part of the bet. So what they did was they rolled back right up until the point that he died. So I guess in their mind, he stopped being the leader of Iran right before he died. I don't know. And a lot of people made those big bets and they were waiting for that payout. And they're not going to get it. Sure, there will be some lawsuits there. And one of the popular, unfortunately, the world we live in, one of the popular kinds of content out there is baiting the worst kind of people and filming it. And one man has made a career out of it, and he sees a very, very ripe place to harvest.
Roblox will be the focus of a new special with former To Catch a Predator host Chris Hansen. Now, I'm sure they don't have the rights to Catch a Predator, so they can't call it that, but he's going to be there, and they're going to try to do Roblox meetups, and it'll probably work.
Now, if you recall, we talked about a story where there was a guy who was already doing this kind of crusade on Roblox, and he had a YouTube channel. He was banned from Roblox.
I think they also sued him, too.
Yeah, he was treated very unfairly, just for pointing out what was there. So he's been brought on board. He'll be a part of this project.
Got to earn a living somehow, I guess.
It's a weird way to do it, but I guess it's not terrible.
I wonder if there's any mention of any of this kind of thing in the Department of Justice files. Like, oh, we can just you know, farm from here.
Yeah, in fact, there are a lot of Department of Justice files that talk about this kind of thing.
Huh, that's weird.
Some we've seen, some we haven't.
It's really weird. Again, I'm noticing a pattern.
That's a pattern you're really not supposed to notice. And here's a pattern that goes back to from when Windows just started to exist. They have always been hyper-aggressive about this.
Florida woman given major jail sentence for illegally selling Microsoft product keys. Illegal here is really strange. This is worrying. So Microsoft has closed up the loophole that allowed people to sell keys. And according to this Texas court, it was always illegal. I think this disturbing is bad for a lot of reasons. Now, the woman got a $50,000 fine and 22 months in jail that has been reported. But she also forfeit all of the profit from her company and any other proceeds from the company, which it was the ruling said was over $222,000 cash, but also like other proceeds, which could be things that show up later. So I think she got the raw end of the deal. This is basically like first sale doctrine is out. If anything, Microsoft might have had a case against the company that sold her the keys. Because she would buy a real certificate of authenticity, and then she would just take the serial number and put it in a spreadsheet because that was more convenient, and then resell that. But these were not counterfeit. These were real keys that Microsoft sold. And Microsoft said, well, you're selling them below retail value. Again, the person she bought them from can sell them, but it's meant to be bundled with a piece of hardware. And so Microsoft said, oh, this has to be bundled with a piece of hardware, and it has to include the software. Include the software is horseshit. It's not. They don't even like you buy a computer from Dell. It doesn't come with a CD. It might come with a piece of paper, but they were saying, oh, she's just selling the serial number, and that's not allowed in our terms of service. This is a terms of service violation. That is not intellectual property theft. That is not a criminal act. This is BS. The jury here. She should have gone for a jury trial, or the jury has no idea how any of this works. And this is very against first sale doctrine. I hope she appeals, but I suspect that the fine only being $50,000 in 22 months is designed to make her not appeal. But she really probably should have some sort of legal fund to fund her appeal, because this is going to be very bad for all copyrighted software and preservation and being able to sell things. Is like the serial number as proof of license ownership should be a thing. That should be proof of property rights, and it's not, and that drives me insane.
They should start selling them with like a $2 Wi-Fi dongle. It's like, oh, here's a bundled hardware. Do you need Windows for this to work?
I'm going to take my Wi-Fi dongle and move it over to the other computer. That almost seems like the prosecutor's argument, which I think makes the whole argument fall apart. Like, you know, it's a ship of Theseus type problem here. It's like, okay, like how do you... It's like, oh, the book is not the book anymore when you separate it from its jacket. If I buy a book and I rip the covers off... And then I sell the thing. I'm allowed to do that. And they're like, oh, but it's a book. It's a piece of property. It's not software. And it's like, you can't have it both ways. It either has to be licensed or it has to be sold. There are elements of both here in this transaction. You can't just pick and choose. It's like when it's more convenient for it to be a license or a thing. And also the book publishers really wanted books to be licensed as well. First sale doctrine. That needs to be shut down right now. Software is more like a book than it is a license. Jesus.
Moving over to hardware, we have some new offerings from AMD.
Ryzen AI 400 chips will bring newer GPUs and CPUs and NPUs to the AM5 desktop. So this is like the refresh. You know, normally there's like the Ryzen 8000G. This is a refresh to bring the notebook-like things to AM5, but also to notebooks. And the top-end notebook CPU is not going to be available in desktop, it looks like. But it'll be interesting to get my hands on some of these and see how it goes.
And from Intel. Oh, that's right, Intel. They are trying to come back, and they are trying to do it with this, which is for the popular use case these days.
Intel's Make or Break 18A process node debuts with data center 288 core Xeon 6 plus CPU multi-chip monster, supports 12 channels of DDR5 8000, Volvo Strike 3D packaging, etc., etc. There's a video that I did on this CPU from several months ago. I guess it wasn't CES, it was before CES, it was late last year, I think. Intel had an event, and they were like, this is the first time we've ever done this. No, that's not actually true. This is the second time they've done this, because the other one was available in cloud services. They say this is for RAN, cloud, super, this is like the oops all E-cores Xeon. They really hate it when you call it that, but it really is the oops all E-cores Xeon. And these E-cores solve a huge number of problems with the Oops All E-Core version of the last Xeon. In fact, I had the 6700 series socket Oops All E-Core Xeon, and that system died mysteriously. And I don't know why it doesn't work. I think it's a motherboard problem. But those CPUs aren't terrible. These are a lot better. They really did a lot of improvement for these CPUs, but got to get some cloud time on one of those machines and do a comparison and see how it goes.
12 channels for that memory that you can't get.
Yeah. Well, all the 6900 series sockets, so like the 6980P, that's the P-Core Xeon, also 12 channels. And so it's like E-Core's or P-Core's CPU in the same socket, which is good. It's good that Intel's not segmenting that also.
And then going forward, you know, that's for the data center, obviously. But going forward for the consumer, the solution might be you just get kind of a piece of junk. And it's going to be cheap, but it's all you're going to be able to afford.
Apple announces the $600 MacBook Neo with an A18 Pro chip. So it's basically an iPad with a keyboard and no touchscreen. I really like how the two USB-C ports behave completely differently. People posted lots of videos of Apple doing events where they're like, it doesn't make sense that the USB-C ports behave differently. That's crazy. No one likes that. And here we are in 2026. It's like, this USB-C port is good, and this one sucks.
And more mergers and acquisitions that, much like the other one we talked about, is probably going to be really bad for you. Your streaming service costs are going to go up because Paramount and HBO joined. And your internet service to get to that streaming service is going to go up.
Charter gets FCC permission to buy Cox and become the largest ISP in the U.S. Yeah, this will definitely end badly.
That's not good for the consumer. It never has been.
It's also easier from a control standpoint. It's like we need one company to do this versus 20 smaller companies.
And AI companions. That is the new hotness, right? You need something. Whether it's a MacBook or a Mac Mini or, you know, whatever sitting on your desk or just, you know, a virtual machine, you have to have your AI at all times. It has to be tracking all of your things.
I'm enamored with Lenovo's desktop AI companions, and I could use their help, according to this. So this is an article about an interactive AI companion that helped this person put together a presentation on giraffes.
And apparently, because of the brain rot, they're having trouble focusing. And so the AI companion sort of like is a taskmaster. It's like, all right, you're going to do a 10-minute breathing exercise, then back to it. You got to get work done. Don't scroll. Which I guess we all need.
Don't scroll away from this program. Store.level1text. I don't know.
And the data centers are rolling out. The power is questionable. So what do you do when you build your data center and you have to worry about that power going out?
World's largest battery to provide 100 hours. It's iron air storage at the Google data center. It is the battery has a 30 gigawatt hour capacity and a 100 hour duration. So it's like 1.7 gigawatts of wind and 500 megawatts of solar or something like that.
And it's amazing how it works. It rusts iron and then unrusts it to generate power.
That's the unrusting part. Seems like Stephen Hawking would have something to say about that.
Presumably it works. Oh, I've reached my article limit. What will I do? Oh, I'll just refresh the page. All right. Well, this one is a generous pop-up window, so we can actually do the headline. And it's terrifying.
New Scientist, human brain cells on a chip learned to play Doom in a week. So they grew a bunch of human brain cells on an interface, and then they taught the human brain cells how to play Doom with the inputs and the outputs. And I don't think it's that there's no visual cortex or anything like that, but the neural net figured out how to arrange itself and play Doom.
But there is a Python script, which makes me wonder how much of that is actually autonomous. But here's the thing about it, right? When it comes to AI, I think what we've learned is you don't observe how good it is. You observe the rate of change.
Yeah.
Because look at the rate of change of, like, remember the robots playing soccer? And, like, you know, it looked like a bunch of kindergartners out there, actually worse. And then the Chinese video of them doing Taekwondo and stuff, right? It's the rate of change. This is the same group that had the brain cells playing Pong about a year ago.
Yeah.
So we went from Pong to Doom.
About three more years of that, and we won't have to wonder whether or not it's like the general artificial intelligence is like, what's that? Oh, this is cube of gray matter hooked up to things. Oh.
Pong to Duma was like a 2-decade span, right? Yeah. So that's a pretty big leap in that amount of time. And here's something that we've talked about before, which is this horrible societal acceptance of people using speakerphone in public, just playing things through the speaker, and they don't care about anybody else. And it's like, how do you think that that's okay? And so many people do that it's come to this.
United Airlines can now ban passengers who don't wear headphones. Who was the British comedian? I think it was in the early 2000s that carried around a giant cell phone. It was like a cardboard cell phone, but it was the size of his person, and it would play the really obnoxious like Nokia ringtone, and then he would scream at the top of his lungs, "Hello!" as loud as possible. There was a comedian that would do that, and they would film people's, like, there was a camera crew that would film people's reactions.
That went from being a joke to being the norm.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. And, you know, if you're one of these companies that can fabricate chips and make memory and stuff like that, you are just printing money right now. But everybody is probably screaming at you more, right? Like, your output has to be up, which is going to make this very interesting.
Samsung Electronics Union votes on dispute. May strike looms on the horizon.
May being when they're going to do it.
So the Samsung Electronics Union have noticed that, wait a minute, Samsung is not sharing this profit with the workers. That's weird. Because it's like we capture the profits and socialize the losses. The workers are feeling that.
How much would a one-day stoppage cost them at this point? It would be astronomical.
Oh, if they had a one-day stoppage that was severe enough, it could wreck all the wafers that are in production, which is about a 30 to 90-day loss.
They would have the people at gunpoint. The Korean army would be in there.
Yeah.
And Broadcom, another company that is reaping all of those rewards, is letting us know exactly how much they expect to make.
Broadcom CEO Hock Tan sees AI chip revenue significantly above $100 billion next year. Yeah, Broadcom is making a lot of money. Broadcom is printing money hand over fist. No surprises there. The silicon photonics stuff is also really just going to be nuts.
And no surprises here. I'm sure that you have all seen this. It is a desperation play. And now we have robots.
Scalper bots are now scraping DDR5 memory supply chains as AI data centers consume more RAM. Was this the article that talked about some of the scrapers are buying DDR5 memory slots? They were buying up the actual slots,
yeah,
like the component, and then reselling them.
And they are cleverly trying to do this during normal operating hours for their time zone, and then like switching time zones through a VPN or something and doing it elsewhere. They're really sensitive to this bot detection because everybody's getting so good at it.
But the memory sockets is literally just plastic and gold pins. There's nothing else there.
Well, it's a mania.
Yeah.
People don't know what to do. They're just like, I want to buy everything. And the sellers of the RAM, one of the big problems is if you sell it right now, then tomorrow you've lost money because the price has gone up. So what do you do?
Yeah, memory crunch forces DRAM market into hourly pricing model, report claims. Small and medium-sized businesses are fighting for survival. I never thought that like memory prices would be, you know, traded like a commodity, just on the open market.
How far are we from RAM futures?
This is also going to drive, because you end up with an average price, but the average always trends higher. That the market is moving to this kind of a mechanism, you're already going to get, you know, a 15 or 20% margin built in on top of the increasing costs.
But if the small to medium businesses can't survive, doesn't that destroy the consumers for AI?
One would think, yeah. Doesn't the joblessness destroy the consumers for AI?
It seems like a lot of the AI roads into destruction of demand. What does that look like?
Maybe the reverse will happen. It'll be like, oops, this technology we've had from the 60s that would allow us to have unlimited food is here. Good luck. Congratulations. I really think that the AI laser-based robot weeding thing, that could be transformational for society. It's like the robots just tend to the crops by lovingly handcrafting them. That would be some incredible food, I bet.
Probably. And, you know, a lot of people have studied the whole idea of social media and your attention span and so forth. And we have a new study which tracks pretty much what everybody thinks, I think.
YouTube Shorts and Instagram Reels are making you dumber, according to science. The thing, and I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole reading this because I ended up linking off and finding some sort of paper somewhere. And the mechanism in your brain that is you should stop and look around for predators is maybe responsible for some of this. Because if you're focusing on something, you're focusing on a task and you're procedurally like, I'm getting from A to B, all of the mechanisms in your brain are sort of heading in that direction for the particular task at hand. But if you have something like this where you can get a little hit of dopamine, that subs in and it's like, oh, maybe I should stop what I'm doing and look around for predators. Oh, maybe I should stop what I'm doing and see if there's any interesting Instagram reels or whatever. And your brain is not built for multitasking or context switching. And so you lose the thing that you were doing. And so, yeah, that's why it makes you dumber, which makes perfect sense.
Now, the correlation is unavoidable. Yes. People who do more TikTok scrolling and that kind of thing perform way worse on all of these tests. But the question is, does scrolling, the brain rot scrolling make you dumber, or did dummies really like brain rot scrolling? Mm. That's what they can't explain. Could be both, I guess. And finally, TikTok has the most insane explanation for why they won't do something that we've ever heard. And just think back to what we heard about, what was the one that gave the Swiss? Was that?
Proton Mail.
Proton Mail, yeah. Think about that story.
BBC's headline is TikTok won't protect direct messages with controversial privacy tech, saying it put users at risk.
Now think about that wording, controversial privacy tech.
I was going to comment on that. Yeah. It's like this BBC art, it is not controversial. It is end-to-end encryption. They're talking about end-to-end encryption. And the reason TikTok won't protect DMs with end-to-end encryption is because they couldn't open up the message and confirm if there is a safety issue or not.
If law enforcement demanded it.
Yeah.
So basically they're saying, we can't conform to the panopticon if we let you have this. Now, here's the question, though. Does controversial privacy tech, did that come from them wanting to phrase it that way? Or was that like an AI rewrite of better clickbait? Because we don't know, right? I mean,
there's a lot of worrying things happening in the UK in general. But imagine somebody saying, it's like, we can't build the local mall because the architect didn't design it in such a way that we can't record all the conversations at the local mall. It's controversial that we would be unable to record all conversations from all people inside the mall at all times.
I don't know that you're allowed to say there's concerning things going on in the UK when,
yeah,
you know, considering the last 2 weeks.
Sorry. My bad.
There's some concerning things here, too.
But we're in this together. That makes us all like, well, thank you for supporting us. All right, we'll see you. See you Friday with a lot of nonsense.
Thoughts and prayers for Cricket.
Bye.
He'll be okay.